Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. There are many things in the life of a Christian as well as a non-Christian that can steal away our peace. Steal away the peace that God gives. And there are times where we'll watch the news or we'll be paying attention to other things, and you can almost feel like you're wringing your hands because of what's going on, what's happening in things with wars that are taking place, like in the Ukraine and in Israel. But then you see other things on television, and you see fornication and drunkenness and adultery and homosexuality, lying, all sorts of sins, and you just feel like somehow we feel like Satan is winning, and our peace and our joy seems to be going out the window. There are a lot of Christians that are consumed with the notion that we are living in the last days, as the Bible talks about. They don't seem to understand that the last days began when Jesus came the first time. That was the beginning of the last days. Now, certainly, we're closer now than we were then to his second coming. And that day will come, but we don't know when that day will come. We don't know if we're at the end of the last days or there's still many days to go in that time frame. And so what do we do? How do we handle the world that we live in? Well, Paul tells the Philippians to stand fast in the Lord, to stand fast. They were facing more dire circumstances than most Christians today face. Rome was not a friend to Christianity. And Paul is telling them that here is something that you need to put into your life. Here is something that you need to think about. You need to change the way you behave, or the way you think and the way you process things, so that you're focused on the Lord instead of these other things. And that's what we're looking at this evening in verses 1 through 9 of Philippians 4. Paul says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with each other, with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So Paul tells the Philippians, he says, "Therefore, brethren, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Paul doesn't want the Philippian brethren to struggle in their faith for a number of things. One thing, as he's writing this book, he doesn't want them to struggle in their faith because of where he is. Because he's in prison in Rome. And he doesn't want them to struggle in their faith because of that. And that's why he says in chapter 1, he says, "Look, I'm here for a purpose. And actually the gospel has been furthered with me in prison than if I had been out of prison." And he's encouraging them to let them know that you don't always understand why God's doing something. God may be doing something completely different and much bigger and much grander than we can imagine. And that's exactly what Paul says. And he's wanting them to be encouraged in their faith. He doesn't want them to be struggling because there are conflicts among them. He wants them to be humble towards God and towards one another. To be of the same mind of Jesus Christ was. What did Jesus do? Well, he tells them in chapter 3, he humbled himself. He humbled himself, in chapter 2, he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a man. He's God. Remember what God says to David, "How could I dwell in a house made with hands?" And yet Jesus comes as a man and walks this earth. That's humility. That is humbling himself so far, and not just humbling himself to become a man, but to die as a man and to die on the cross. That's great humility. And he says, I want you to think that way towards one another. I want that same mind that was in Christ to be in you. Humble yourselves as Christ humbled himself. He doesn't want them to struggle because the path before them seems long. There's times where it seems long, doesn't it? It seems like it's dragging out. Like, oh no, I thought it was going to end here, but now it's going to keep going. This trial that I'm in, this struggle that I've got, this situation that I am forced with. And it seems like I thought it was going to be over ages ago, but it's still going on. He wants you to stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord. Their struggles will come, without a doubt. But stand fast in the Lord. It almost sounds like a platitude. You know, like a Christian cliche. Oh yeah, stand fast. We don't hear that, do we? We don't hear that as a cliche. But I'll pray for you. We hear that. We hear others as well. But it's not a cliche because Paul says, I want you to stand fast. I'm going to give you the tools to stand fast. I'm going to give you the things you need to think about, the things you need to consider to stand fast. What's it based upon? How can you stand fast? Well, first off, a proper standing in God. To stand fast is based upon your faith in Christ. It has to start there. It can't be anywhere else. Paul calls them brethren, brothers and sisters. Why? Because they are Christians. Because they have turned away from sin, they turned away from self, and they turned to the only Savior, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he calls them brother. That's where it has to start for anyone. You want peace in this life. You want peace from this world. You want peace with God. It starts with Jesus Christ. It ends with Jesus Christ. That's the beginning and end. That's the sum of it all. And he calls them brethren for that reason. He says, I want you to be in the same mind of Christ. That you treat each other as he has treated you. As he has done for you, so do to other people. You have troubles. We don't know. It is Euodias and Syntyche. Are they having difficulties and struggles between themselves? Well, be of the same mind as the Lord. Think how he thought. Put the other person first. What do you do to your enemy? You give them extra. Pray for them. Bless them. And that's what you do. That's what he wants them to do. And they're not enemies. They're both in the church. He says, work on these things. He tells the minister that's in Philippi, he says, I want you to work together with those that are also working together. You know, there are others that are helping with this, and I want you to work with them. I want you to encourage them. I'm going to have to shut the window because I'm getting wet. He wants them to work together as much as is possible. You see, standing in the Lord... If you're standing in the Lord, you should be able to stand with others who are standing in the Lord, walking the same path. It all starts and ends with Christ, and it's all based on Him. And so, standing fast in the Lord, he says, he goes on from this, and he says, this is how you do it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Well, what cause do you have to rejoice? What is it that you have to rejoice for? Do you know God? Do you know Jesus Christ? That's cause for rejoicing. Regardless of what else might be happening, regardless of what illness you have, regardless of not having enough money, regardless of not having a job, regardless of other things, you can rejoice in Jesus Christ. You can rejoice because He's forgiven you. That's an amazing standing to have. You think about Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, it's an interesting picture about the blessed man. But I'm always fascinated by the end of that passage. It's not a long passage, but the writer, the psalmist, he tells us what happens in the judgment. He says, his leaf shall, talking about the blessed man, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What's the implication there? The ungodly, they will not stand in the judgment. What will those that have been saved do? What will the righteous do? They're going to be standing. They're going to be standing in the Lord. Why? Because they've already bowed the knee here. That's the difference. You bow the knee here, you stand there because of what Christ has done. But you don't stand, you stand here on your own without Christ. You don't bow the knee now. You won't stand in the judgment. You'll be falling in, on your face before Him, crying out at that point that He is Lord and God. But it won't do any good to you if you don't know Him. Not only do you rejoice in these things, you let others know about it. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Don't hide it. Don't keep it back. In Romans chapter 12, what I preached on this morning, says, let your love be without dissimulation. Don't conceal it. People are so worried about whether or not someone's going to care about them if they find out they're a Christian. Don't be concerned about that. People will turn away from you. It's happened in my life. It'll happen in every Christian's life if you are truly letting your moderation be known unto all men. Know what's within you being seen by everyone else. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? He says, don't hold anything back. You know, if you're being careful for something, you're thinking, oh, this is precious to me. I'm going to keep it secure. He says, don't keep anything secure to yourself. Give it all to God. Let every request be made known unto Him. Whether it's vague, whether it's small, whether you think it's inconsequential or not, the Lord knows already, and He wants you to tell Him. He wants that relationship based off that communication. He says, so be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, supplication, it's an earnestness in prayer. This is not a repetition of word, but it's the heart crying out to God. A true sincerity. You think of what James says about the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what he's talking about. Fervent prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Now, that's the hard part, isn't it? That's the hard part. Because you say, well, are you thankful for cancer? Are you thankful for the difficulty? Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful for not having the money? Are you thankful for how long it's taken you to become citizens? Absolutely. You know why? Because I know God's at work. That doesn't mean I'm happy that I've been dealing with cancer or happy of these circumstances, but I know God's working in my life. I know He's moving. I know He's doing something. And I can thank Him for that. And I can bring the difficulty before Him and I can say, thank You, Lord, for the difficulty. I'm not enjoying the difficulty, but I can thank Him because I know He's moving and working. His hand is evident. And when His hand is evident, guess what? That's a blessing. Regardless of how it might seem. It's a blessing. He blesses us through these things. And so we thank Him. It's not trite. It is true thanksgiving to God for what He is doing in your life, regardless of how the circumstances might work, regardless of how difficult it might be, because He's there for you. He's with you. You have the promise of Romans 8 that all things work together for your good. All things work together for your good. For God is doing it all for your benefit and your life. And so what does He give you? The peace of God that passes understanding. It shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. That is not the peace that the world understands. That's not peace between men. That's God's peace dwelling within you. That is an amazing peace. Bountiful gift. It is truly beyond understanding. We don't get it. How is it possible to have peace in circumstances that the world cannot understand? It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes when we're thankful to God for the circumstances that He's working in our lives. It comes based off the relationship. It comes when we're rejoicing in Him. And that peace settles upon you. And when that peace settles upon you, Paul says, I want you to do something different at that point. I want you to change the way you think. Change what you think about. Don't think about, you've already brought the request. You're worried about tomorrow and what's going to happen tomorrow, and you've prayed about it. Now, instead of thinking about it even more, you've already prayed about it. You thank God for it. Now think about God. Now think about Christ and all of His attributes. Because He says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Stop thinking about the circumstance you are praying about. Stop thinking about the circumstance in your family. Stop thinking about the circumstance with your home. Stop thinking about your job. Stop thinking about your health. You've prayed about it. Now, focus on God. Instead of being your focus here, the steps in front of you, focus on the one who has your steps in His hands. That's what He wants you to do. Because what is the epitome of these virtues? What is the epitome of each one of these attributes? It's God. Whatsoever things are true. Well, who is truth? It's Jesus Christ. He's truth. I am the truth and the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've got it backwards there. But He's the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Think on Him. Think about His promises. Think about all the things that He said that are true. Because all that He has said is true. Whatsoever things are honest. Sometimes you can't rely on people to be honest with you. I've always remembered preachers when they always say, you know, I need somebody that's going to be honest with me when I'm getting to the point where I can't preach anymore. Well, and I say, what do you mean? Well, when I don't make sense anymore. Because a lot of times people, I'll just keep saying the same things or won't have coherent thought, but people still want me because of the old days. I said, I don't want that. I want somebody that's going to be honest with me. Well, thankfully, God is always honest with us. He is brutally honest with us. When you think about what it says in Hebrews 4, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's going to cut to the quick. It's going to cut right to the heart of the matter. And it's going to judge in that matter. God is honest. God is just. The world always says, I want justice. Well, I only want justice in Christ. I don't want justice on its own. I want justice in Christ. Because He paid the price for me. Outside of Christ, I don't want justice. It's only through Christ I want justice. Because justice means I'm done. Justice means I'm a criminal. Justice means I'm a sinner. Justice means that I'm not going to be in that place and I will not stand in the judgment. That's what justice means. I don't want that. I want to be judged in Christ. Because He is just. Because He is holy. Because He is pure. Because He is right. The justice of God, if it was only the justice of God, there would be no one saved. There would be no one going to heaven. Ever. But it's God who is just and pure and lovely who says, I'm going to send my Son. And you trust Him, and then you can stand in the judgment. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. What do we talk about? What are the things that escape from our lips? Are they good things? Are they good things to talk about? Are they good things to share? Well, whatsoever things are of good report, think on those things. Because the more you think on them, the more they'll escape from your lips. The more it's in your mind, the more you're going to talk about it. Right? We talk about the things we care about. And so he says, is there any virtue? The answer to that is yes. Where is it found? It's found in Christ. Is there anything praiseworthy? Of course there is. Christ is praiseworthy. Then think on these things. Change the things you think about. Yes, there are always going to be things every single day of our life that when these things are going to come in and they're going to distract us and we're going to come to God and we're going to pray about them. But he says, after you've prayed about it, after you've thanked God for it, after you've brought your petition to Him and you've supplicated Him to work and move in your favor, then think on Him. Not on the circumstances that you just asked Him about. You think about that. That is belief. That is faith. You see, if we come to God and we say, Lord, I need you to do whatever it is, A, B, and C. And after I'm done praying, I go and I go, okay, I've got to figure out A, B, and C. Well, who am I having trust in? Well, didn't I just go to God to take care of A, B, and C? Didn't I just supplicate with Him? Do I believe that He is able to handle my circumstances? Do I believe that He is able to move and work in my life? If I do, then I should be thinking on Him. Then I should change the way my mind operates. Would you like to stand fast? It takes getting your mind off of you and your circumstances and putting them on the rock. The one that is firm, steadfast, immovable. It's an example. It's something that I've thought about with Job. After all that Job went through, after all that his friends said, and after all that Job said, God comes and God speaks to Job. God did not give Job any answers to any of the questions he had. He didn't come. He didn't say, okay, Job, I'm going to give you answers to all these things. No, he said unto Job that he is God, and he does as he sees fit. This is Job's response in Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When Job took the focus off of the boils from head to toe, off of his wife berating him, off of the death of his children, off of the loss of all his property, and focused it on God instead, suddenly his perspective changed completely. At this point, none of his circumstances have changed. But his mindset is now completely different, because he now sees God clearly, and he knows who God is, and he understands that God is for him, so the difficulties are going to melt away. Now certainly those difficulties change for Job, those circumstances change for Job, but the focus is on God. That's the only reason that the circumstances change, because his focus is on the Lord. A proper standing in God is based on your following Him. Look what he says in verse 9. Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Follow my example. Follow the example of Paul. Paul is following Christ, so follow after Paul as he follows after Christ. You see someone following after Christ, follow after them. Make sure you're following someone that's a true Christian. He explains it. They need to do certain things. Not in a list of, oh, I'm going to do this to be spiritual. No, I'm going to do the things that I've both learned and received and heard and seen. He does it in that order for a reason. The first thing you have to do is learn it, right? You have to learn it before you can receive it. The truth is there, but you have to learn the truth before you can receive the truth. Once you learn the truth, have you received the truth? And when you say, yes, I believe it's true, then have you truly heard the truth with ears to hear, spiritual ears, to take it in, to believe what you've received. I've received that it's true. People can say, yeah, I believe that's God's word, but they don't actually follow it. Because they've learned it, they've received it, but they haven't heard it. Have you heard it? If you've heard it, then the things that you've seen others do, do. Do the same. Talk about God. Talk about Christ. Follow after Him. Pray. Change your mindset. Change the way that you think after you pray. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. He'll be there. He'll take care of you, even when the circumstances seem dire. Even when the circumstances seem out of your control and they don't have any sign of changing. God's in control. And you can rest in Him, regardless of those circumstances. It's a beautiful passage. It's personal to me. It's a beautiful passage that Paul gives to us here because it is so impactful to the everyday, to the everyday prayer life of a believer, to the everyday thought life of a believer. Change the way you think. And when you change the way you pray, you change the way you think, you'll change the way you behave. It'll just happen because of the changes that take place. And so we point you to Jesus Christ tonight. Amen.